Introducing the unbelievable American under $7,800, the Plymouth Sundance Series. Plymouth Sundance, the best value of any car in its class, including the imports. 47 standard features to convince you, 5-year or 50,000-mile protection plan to assure you. Plymouth Sundance, the unbelievable American under $7,800.
Yesterday, we lost one of the giants of the auto industry, Lee Iacocca, who built Ford up, who rebounded Chrysler when it looked like Chrysler didn't stand any kind of a chance of surviving. They brought in Lee Iacocca, and he turned things around for them. Tom Appel joins us right now, the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, contributor to the Daily Drive blog, and all-around car expert. Tom, thank you for being here. Greatly appreciated. How are you?
I'm good. Happy summer.
Happy summer to you. I said this earlier, and I just want your take on it. He's probably the most influential car man, if not the most, one of our generation. Would you agree with that?
I completely agree. Once you get past sort of the Henry Fords and the Ransom Olds and some of the foundational guys, yeah, I think he's one of the most significant automotive leaders really since then.
And I'm sorry, but I don't really realize he started with Ford. I guess I only became familiar with him when he came in and helped out Chrysler.
Yeah, the Ford thing is interesting because a lot of people weren't really paying attention. I think you need to be my age, I'm in my mid-50s, to really be aware of what he did at Ford. But without Lee Iacocca, we probably would not have had the Ford Mustang.
Oh my God, that would have been a travesty. That's the best-looking car.
Yeah, it's amazing because we can credit Lee Iacocca directly for establishing two categories in the auto industry that probably wouldn't have existed: the pony car with the Mustang and the minivan with the Caravan and Voyager.
He was the president of Ford when he was only 40 years old, and I know he was with them for years and years, but he never really saw eye to eye with the owner, with Henry Ford II, the owner, correct?
Yeah, he was a little abrasive, and I think that wore away on the Fords. Henry Ford was the CEO at the time, and Lee was the president. And I think the board and a lot of the Fords who were in control of the company just didn't like the guy.
Tell the story, Tom. The Mustang, we hit on it briefly, but what did he invent the Mustang, or why was he considered to be the champion of the Ford Mustang?
I'm not entirely sure who invented the idea, but Lee Iacocca just loved the idea, and he pressed very forcefully for Ford to move ahead with it. And it was an amazing product because it was supposed to be very inexpensive to build. It was based on the Ford Falcon, and there weren't really high expectations. They kind of thought they'd sell about 100,000 of these a year, but Iacocca pushed it through, and in the first full model year, which was a long year because they introduced it early, they sold 400,000 Mustangs, completely changing the automotive landscape. And if we didn't have the Mustang, we wouldn't have had the Camaro, the Firebird, the Javelin, the Challenger, and all these other pony cars that followed.
My cousin Susie had an orange Javelin with the black racing stripe. Very exciting. Yeah. The 69 Mustang, to my eyes, is still one of the greatest looking cars ever.
Oh, I think a lot of people agree with you.
The thing that everybody always said about him, Tom, and tell me if I'm wrong on this, was that he had this unique ability to understand what Americans wanted in a car and provided for them. It's something that seems so basic. Why wouldn't every car company do it? But he just had a knack for it, huh?
Yeah, he really did. And I think that he should be remembered best as probably a salesman. You know, he could sell people cars, but most importantly, when we got to Chrysler, he sold the U.S. government on guaranteeing loans of over $1 billion to save Chrysler. And that took a lot of salesmanship.
I'll go on.
I want to ask about the minivan. Now, he put that, Bill, you had said that earlier, and I still doubted you. I needed Tom Appel to confirm that.
Yeah.
But there was no such thing as like a family van prior to that, just work vans?
There were a couple of things that looked like minivans, but Chrysler really defined what that was. It was really the original Plymouth Voyager and Dodge Caravan that totally established that niche. And the word minivan was first applied there.
Interesting.
I know this falls more under the bracket of advertising, but I think you'll be able to answer it anyway. He was probably the first guy who was a high-ranking official at a car company to do their commercials. When he was with Chrysler, for a long time, if you were watching a Chrysler commercial, you were seeing Lee Iacocca. And then there was a tagline that I'm sure you'll remember where he'd say, "If you can find a better car, buy it." That was brilliant.
It was fabulous, yeah. And a lot of people consider Lee Iacocca to really be the first American celebrity CEO. And he did a lot of ads, and I was watching him this morning. I'm like, wow, this guy was magnificent.
Would he be, if he were coming up through the ranks today, would he still get as far, or has the business changed, Tom?
I think the business has changed, but I think that a lot of leading executives have a bit more autonomy today than they used to. I think the corporate structure is a little bit looser, so I think he actually might have done fairly well today.
Is there even a I'm trying to think if there's a guy today who's similar to him, and no one comes to mind. Can you think of anybody?
No, the closest you can come, and I don't mean to insult anybody here, is Elon Musk, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Who's an extremely outspoken leader and believes in his own product and is willing to sell it.
Yeah.
Lido Anthony Iacocca was his name. And according to TMZ, in the 80s, Ronald Reagan appointed Iacocca as chairman of the Statue of Liberty Ellis Island Centennial Commission. And he was tasked with raising money to restore the Statue of Liberty. So he went on to do other things.
Yeah.
What was he doing, like, his last few jobs?
Oh, well, he retired from Chrysler in 93, and I think he basically retired. He did some consulting, and then in 1995, he did a thing that kind of tarnished his reputation. He got involved with Kirk Kerkorian in what was a hostile takeover bid for Chrysler. That didn't end well for the takeover bid, but it did leave a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths.
Tom, there was a time where his name was thrown around as a possible presidential candidate. Do you remember this?
I do remember that.
So why
didn't
that play out?
Came of that. I don't know. I don't know ultimately why he didn't do that. Maybe just neither party chose to reach out to him. But I remember that well, and he seemed like an excellent vice presidential candidate,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. Although, keep in mind, a couple of decades ago, the mere idea of a guy running for office that high who had no political background seemed impossible. Of course, that's changed now, but back then it just seemed very, very unlikely.
Yeah, and there was precedent, too, because Ross Perot had come from, I think it was called EDS, rather famously, to run for president, which coincidentally was a division of General Motors at one point.
Mm.
All right, there's a text that we're getting. I'm 36 and have no idea who this car guy with the funny name is. And it's true. I have to be completely honest with you. What was he, 94 years old?
Yeah.
I thought he had already left this car dealership.
Well, it was a very, very low profile for the last decade plus.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Unless you remember the ads, which were incredible, the name Lee Iacocca may not stick with you.
You know who kind of reminded me of him for a little while there, Tom, would be John DeLorean.
I think that's an absolutely great comparison, because DeLorean was one of those guys, and he sort of bucked management when he was at General Motors, and he also did great things. John DeLorean was really the father of the GTO, more or less inventing the muscle car, but when he took off on his own to start the DeLorean Motor Company, that took considerable moxie.
Yeah.
And DeLorean was famous at General Motors for stirring things up, especially the dress code. He didn't like blue suits.
Yeah.
Where does Bob Roorman fit into this?
It's a great question, Tom.
I don't know if I have a direct comparison for Bob Roorman to
the Coco.
Except
tough.
They're both great salesmen, and they do their own commercials.
Oh, so true.
And I'm reading he passed away from complications from Parkinson's disease. That according to a family spokeswoman.
Oh.
So that's sad. I did get the alert that he had passed away, 94 years old. Lived a pretty decent life,
didn't he?
Sure
did, yeah, and so instrumental in shaping the car business for such a long time. So, yeah, it's a big loss. Tom, thank you so much for joining us. What do you have coming up? Is there anything we should know about for you?
I have a regular schedule now for my appearances on the Nick DiGilio show.
Oh,
so
nice.
On the first Monday of every month.
Very, very nice. Thank you. Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, contributor to the Daily Drive blog, and as you heard, now a regular contributor on Nick DiGilio's show. Thanks for joining us, Tom. We appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Tom.
We'll take a quick break, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.